Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Good, everybody. Welcome to the Look Ahead, part of the SB Nation NFL show. I am Rob Stats Guerrera. He is RJ Ochoa. What's up, RJ?
How goes it, Stats? Great to be with you. I love you so much with all of my heart and soul. I love the SB Nation NFL show. And, you know, it's the treat of my year to be here right now.
Are you saying that because there's only 2 days left in the year?
A little bit. I have some questions about New Year's, you know, but I'll sprinkle them in throughout the show in my usual delightful manner.
Ah, delightful is a stretch. But want to remind everybody before we get rolling here, we are brought to you by DraftKings. DraftKings Sportsbook is an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today. Use code SBNNFL for a special offer when you sign up. That's code SBNNFL only at DraftKings. You got me a little curious now, RJ. I want an early sprinkle. What's your New Year's question?
Well, Stats, you know, a lot of people love to say, like, what's your New Year's resolution? You know, what are you resoluting to this year? What, you know, maybe it's the Resolute Desk. Shout out to National Treasure, one of the more underrated films of our time. But my question to you is, what do you do at New Year's? Do you eat the 12 grapes? You got to have a glass of champagne? Like, do you go black eyed peas? Like, do you have something that you do in your household every single year?
We usually get some champagne, but that's about it. We don't have any other New Year's traditions now. Do you?
My wife likes to do cabbage and black eyed peas, which is disgusting.
Is that a thing?
It's a thing. I didn't know it was a thing until we got married. So, I mean, but I've done the grapes before. I mean, I'm down with the grapes, you know? Well,
I don't even know what that is.
You eat the grapes for good luck. You eat 12, one for every month. You know what I'm saying? So you eat the grapes or the black eyed peas or cabbage for good luck in the year to come. Health, wealth, and happiness.
I think your wife just made that up. I never heard of that.
Do you like black eyed peas or cabbage in general? Just as,
no,
as food items?
Definitely not.
Agree with you. Totally agree. Good job.
Absolutely
you.
Not. All right, RJ. There's a ton to get to. We are down to the nitty gritty here. 2 weeks to go in the NFL's regular season. We've got a bunch of clinching scenarios. We got teams hanging on by their fingernails to playoff spots. So let's get right into it here. If you're new to the show, we take deep dives into the biggest games of the week, and then we hit every other game on Sunday in the lightning round. So let's start in Cincinnati with the Chiefs and the Bengals. Bengals favored by 5 points. And this is a fascinating game to me because I know that the Chiefs offense looks good against the Raiders, but they really don't look that great against everybody else. I think Cincinnati's defense is pretty good. This is going to be a fun game.
I'm really excited about it. I really feel like Joe Burrow is coming into his own. And I feel like, I don't know, I'm still not ready to buy into the Chiefs. And maybe, I don't know, maybe that's just kind of the weirdness of this NFL season, but the Chiefs are rolling. The Chiefs, I still feel like we haven't gotten like the main mega, like super duper offensive, like super showcase yet. And maybe it's happened. I mean, last week was the Byron Pringle game. Maybe it just hasn't felt, you know, like the standard Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce performances. I know we did get the Kelce one against the Chargers on Thursday night a couple of weeks ago. But I don't know, with Kelce back, with Tyreek ready to go, I mean, this is kind of the last, like, box to check for Kansas City, right, to prove they're all the way back. Like, they've kind of taken, you know, obviously their losses. I think that's the thing. When you look at the Chiefs this year, all their losses are, like, super understandable, right? They're to, like, what were and have been like the AFC contenders with Baltimore and Tennessee and Buffalo and the Chargers, obviously. And so I would put the Bengals in that mix, right? Like, the Bengals are among the top teams in the AFC. So can Cincinnati join that club? Can Cincinnati keep it going? Is Cincinnati really only good against the AFC North now? This is kind of a show me who you really are game on both sides, which doesn't always happen.
And by the way, I just want to let everybody know.
Are you okay? I believe in your Stats. You can do it. You can make it through this.
These clinching scenarios, they get me choked up. I want to let everybody know the Bengals can clinch the AFC North with a win, and Kansas City can lock up the number one seed with a win and a Tennessee loss to the Dolphins, which we're going to get to. So there's a lot at stake for both sides in this game. How about this? Cincinnati has never won 3 straight games under Zach Taylor, and they don't have a single win this season over a team that's currently in the playoffs. Now, to be fair to them, they only have two games possible against those teams. One was against the Niners, which they lost in overtime, and the other was against the Packers, which they should have won, but their field goal kicker forgot how to kick a damn field goal. So that stat doesn't look quite as good when you give it a little context, but Cincinnati still has some proving to do for sure.
I am going to take Kansas City. I want to get out in front here. I haven't taken them in a while, so I'll give you 5 points. Are you willing to take Cincinnati?
Oh, man. The question for me is, do I believe in the Chiefs defense? You know, they've held their opponent to under 20 points in 7 of the last 8 games. But Cincinnati has a good offense, man. Burrow is obviously rolling, coming off the 4th highest passing performance in NFL history. I just don't know. That's a lot of points. Ooh, man. I think I'll take Cincinnati in the points in this one.
That's pretty stupid of you, Stats. You know, so fine. Be wrong. I'm okay with that. So I'm giving you 5 points. And an update for anyone who's curious, Stats and I back in week 13 started a little fun game, little fun bet wager, whatever you want to call it, here on the Look Ahead, where every week the games we disagree on, we keep track of them. We're monitoring them. I've been having more success, so I've definitely been reminding Stats of that all too often. Anytime Stats and I disagree, we mark it down based on the odds from our friends at DraftKings Sportsbook. Whoever loses our, I would say, season long, kind of like, you know, final quarter of the season long competition, is going to make a donation to charity. We're still finding the exact one. We've gotten some contributions from people as in terms of where to go. So ironing out those final details. But Stats, last week, in case anybody was curious, we did disagree on 5 games. And for the first time, you got the better of me. You were correct in that Buffalo covered against New England easily. We took the pick'em with the Jaguars and the Jets, and the Jets, well, the Jaguars just suck more. And you took the Bears with Seattle favored by 6.5, and that was a well-resounding success. I do want to note that I took the Rams against the Vikings, which was easy, and I took the Cowboys as 10.5-point favorites and easily covered that. You are now 0-2 when taking Washington against Dallas. In fact, you're 0-2 when picking against Dallas in general. That had to be said. The overall competition, I lead 9-8. So we're getting down to that time. So we start off with a bang. I've got the Chiefs, you've got the Bengals, Kansas City -5.
So we originally kind of devised this as like a holiday thing. So is this the last week of it, or are we just going to finish out the regular season?
No, we got to finish at this point. You know what I'm saying? Like, look at you, Stats. Stats narrowed the margin. He's been down 2 games after every week, and he gets down by 1 game
right
now.
Baby.
And he's like, oh no, let's end it right now. Let's do it right here. Nah, dude, we got to. We didn't show up, you know, just to punt. Are you serious? Like, what a loser mentality. Oh, my God.
Look, I'm just trying to find out the rules, all right? I'm just trying to determine how badly you're going to end up losing to me. That's fine. If you want to go an extra week, I'll take it. You know, you ever heard of the term get out while you're ahead?
I've got Kansas City, and I'm going to keep building on my lead. I don't think Cincinnati has it in them to do this again. I think I could honestly see, like, Joe Burrow having, like, 201 yards, and everyone would be like, what happened? It's like, yeah, it's almost like things regress to the mean.
Well, and if you look, I mean, he has lit up the Baltimore Ravens this year. Now, granted, last week was kind of like a practice squad defense for the Ravens because of all the absences they have. But Burrow has kind of destroyed Baltimore this year. In the other games, he has not been nearly as effective. So it's kind of like the Chiefs against the Raiders situation. So it'll be weird to see which trend holds up. Maybe both of them will. Who knows? All right, let's go to Tennessee now, where the Titans are hosting the Dolphins. Tennessee is favored by 3.5 points, and I want to make sure everybody knows the Titans can clinch the AFC South with a win or a Colts loss. So either one of those things happen, and the Titans get to wear the cool division hats. I do not have faith in the Dolphins. I don't care how many games they've won in a row. I know that it's hard to win 7 straight. I fully give them that. Congratulations. They're well-deserved, but that doesn't mean I have to have faith in you, and I'm sorry, RJ. I'm just not buying Miami.
On Tuesday morning, Stats, the day after Miami won their 7th game in a row, let me be very clear, huge fan of Good Morning Football. Watch it every day. In fact, I usually watch it twice because they do the rerun right after. But one of the headlines on Good Morning Football was, are the Dolphins the team you want to see least in the AFC wildcard race? And
definitely not.
No, they are not. These are their wins. And I know a lot of people have ripped these off. Houston, which they won 17-9, by the way. So like one possession win here. Baltimore, the Thursday night game, that was certainly impressive. I mean, that was a Baltimore team that had a lot more life than they do now. The Jets, the Panthers, the Giants, the Jets, and the beleaguered Saints team. So to your point, yeah, cool. I mean, it's hard to win this many games in a row. Respect, Dolphins. You've ruined Philadelphia's first round pick next year, forever in your debt for that. But I'm not buying this. I mean, you know, I think the most interesting thing to like be a result of this is that, you know, the narrative around Tua is a little bit different just because of his record. I still don't know that I believe in him personally, but I will take Tennessee. And if you're foolish enough to take me up on that, I feel badly for you. I mean, Tennessee's just, I mean, they're still like, they concern me, but they're not the Dolphins. It's kind of where I'm at.
Yeah. Just ultimately, like last week's a perfect example, right? Ryan Tannehill does nothing in the first half of the game. Tennessee had 55 total yards against the 49ers in the first half of that game. Second half of the game, he doesn't do anything on first and second down in the entire second half either. But on third down, on the money down, he delivered again and again and again. Tennessee, I believe, was 9 of 16 converting third downs. And if you take out one little basically like quarterback sneak that Tannehill did for field goal position, the average yards to go for them on third down in the second half of that game was over 10 yards. And they were still 9 of 16. So he was getting it done when he needed to, and I have faith in him to do that more so than Tua Tagovailoa. He has not been impressive by any stretch of the imagination to me. And Tennessee's just tough, man. They don't die. They can take a punch. You know, like the Niners came out in that game last week like a house of fire, flying around, making plays on defense, and Tennessee just doesn't flinch. And I have no faith in Miami to do the same thing. So I'll take the Titans and I'll give the points in this one. And I feel pretty comfortable there.
Me too. I do want to say one thing. And the NFL has come under fire for, well, a lot of things for like the entire course of time. And certainly have made some interesting decisions this year. But I really actually feel badly for the Dolphins in the sense of, so the Titans, you know, obviously the last game they played, which was on Thursday night last week when they hosted your San Francisco 49ers and won. The Miami Dolphins just played on Monday Night Football. That game was in New Orleans. So you're talking about a team that played on Thursday night, playing a team coming off of Monday night. So literally the longest amount of possible rest, except for having a bye week, obviously, against right. the shortest amount of possible rest. Not only are you just dealing with that from like a time perspective, Tennessee played their Thursday night game at home. Miami played their Monday night game on the road. And so now you're making the team who has the like far fewer amount of time to rest also travel again. This is so stupid. Like there should be these like, I mean, like I'm not saying devising the NFL schedule is easy. You have to deal with a billion different variables and details and whatever, but there should be these blanket, like we don't allow these things to happen. You never have a Thursday night team facing a Monday night team or a team that's coming off a road game have to travel again in a situation like this. Like this is a really avoidable problem. The same thing happened to Washington, although the home away thing was a little bit different when Vegas beat Dallas on Thanksgiving and then Washington had their Monday night game against Seattle. That so you had a Thursday game against a Monday game and then Washington had to travel to Vegas the very week after. Why does this happen? It's stupid.
Like I agree with you, but I also agree with, you know, what's his name? Is it Howard Katz or I can't remember the schedule guy for the NFL, but he's got to be like, dude, there's 8 billion things. If I move that one game, that creates 6 other problems for me in these other weeks. So it's not ideal. I totally get it. And the Dolphins are right to be mad about it. But at the same time, like, sorry.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to lose anyway, Dolphins, to be very clear. But I mean, you know, like, just, yeah, but you have a huge right to be upset about this. And like, they're playing for a playoff, you know, position here, like against a team that's in the playoff mix, right? Like that's, it would be one thing if they were playing, I don't know, like the Jaguars in this situation, but they're not. Like, that's a tough situation.
Oh, and the other thing, think about this. Tennessee would love to win this game, of course. They're competing for the number one seed. What are they doing? They're waiting for Derrick Henry to come back. How huge would it be for the Titans to get a week off in the playoffs just to have more time for Derrick Henry to get better coming off that injury? So this is a massive game for Tennessee, and you're right. This is the perfect advantage. There's no excuse for not going out and handling your business against the Dolphins, even if they are on a 7-game winning streak.
Which means the Dolphins will win, obviously. So
obviously. Yeah. All right, let's continue our deep dives. Next up, Rams at the Ravens. Baltimore is getting 3.5 points in this one. The Rams can clinch the NFC West with a win and an Arizona loss against your Dallas Cowboys. The Rams have won 4 straight, even though Matthew Stafford did not look particularly good last week. The Ravens have lost 4 straight, and I feel like it's the most understandable four-game losing streak in NFL history, RJ.
Yeah, so to be very clear for all of our Blog and the Boys listeners that have made their way over to the SB Nation NFL show, Cowboys fans, you touched on it, stats, should be rooting for the Rams. We'll see what happens as far as the one seed is concerned, but if the Cowboys don't get the one seed, they need somebody to be tied with them and the Buccaneers in order for the three-way tiebreaker to come into play to at least get the two seed in the NFC. So we want to see the Rams win out and win the NFC West. And you're right, stats. I mean, I feel like I don't ever really like feel like this kind of bad for a team, but I feel so bad for, because like they, it's one thing to be bad and it's one thing to be bad when you have like this onslaught of injuries, but man, they try so hard. Like I respect the hell out of John Harbaugh. Like I really do. Like, you know, like they I know they got blown out, but like their game against the Bengals was close, like for a little bit, like it was closer for longer than it would have been, you know, than from any other team. You know what I mean? Like they will just like, they will die trying. You know what I'm saying? Like, that is who the Ravens are. And I respect that so much. And that's why I kind of like, I'm ready to just like, just end it. You know, like, it doesn't bring me joy to watch this. And so I'm really sad for them. I'm really, really excited to see them in 2022, especially, you know, shout out to me, stats. This game is important. I know everybody cares. I made the title game in my fantasy league of record. Hang on.
To me.
And Matthew Stafford and Cooper Kupp have kind of been my bread and butter all season long. So obviously hoping for a big game between the two of them. But somebody who I drafted that I've dealt with throughout the entire year was J.K. Dobbins. Like, you forget that, like, he was a part of this. Like, he got hurt, like, way back when, you know, like, before the season even started. I mean, the Ravens, it's just been a new thing each and every single week. And so get healthy, Ravens. Get to 2022, and the AFC North will belong to you once again. But this week, man, I think the Rams are a little shaky still, and that's why I'm nervous for myself. But I do think that they should, if Cincinnati, no offense to them, can blow them up, I certainly don't see how Sean McVay can.
There were 15 defensive players for the Ravens. They either missed the game last week or were only able to play like less than 10 snaps because of injury. So between COVID and injuries, like they are absolutely ravaged. Talking about injuries, Lamar Jackson returned to practice. I don't know if you saw that video of him, RJ. Looked like he was on Tatooine, but he could barely jog, let alone run in practice. That ankle is clearly still bothering him. I think you could make the argument that they might be better off just going with Tyler Huntley if he comes off the COVID list, which he's expected to do so today. If the Ravens win this game, they have a 59% chance of making the playoffs. If they lose this game, that goes down to 8%.
I don't see how they win this game. I really don't. I mean, I'm going to take the Rams. I'll give you the points. I mean, I don't feel great about it. I love the Ravens way more than I even like the Rams. Again, I've got selfish motivations for this game. So in a weird way, Ravens, I love you, but like, I hope you get blown out this week. Like I hope Matthew Stafford throws 5 touchdowns to Cooper Kupp. But you know, again, we'll be back. We'll come back together stronger in 2020. I don't see how it's close. Maybe it's close for a half, but then like there will be that breakaway point, and then Baltimore just doesn't have the horses.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you. Even if the Rams turn the ball over like they did last week, I just can't see Baltimore putting enough good plays together in this game to eke it out. So I will take the Rams, and I will give the points. All right, let's take a break. We've still got more deep dives to go, plus the lightning round, plus a little bit of breaking news that we're going to get to before the show ends. So stay with us after the break.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Back here on the Look Ahead, part of the SB Nation NFL show. We are brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook. All right, RJ, let's go to your wheelhouse next. Big D, the Cowboys welcome in the Arizona Cardinals. Cowboys are giving 5.5 points. The Cardinals need to win to keep their NFC West hopes alive, and Dallas is trying to get the top seed in the NFC, so obviously they want to win as well. Cardinals have lost three straight games. They are in free fall. This is not new under Cliff Kingsbury. They have gone 15-5-1 in the first 7 weeks of the season, RJ. The rest of the way, they are just 8-18. This isn't just a this year thing. It's not just a last year thing. It's in his entire tenure. And oh, by the way, that same trend held true when he was coaching at Texas Tech. Cliff Kingsbury's teams fade in the second half of the season. And that's exactly what's happening to the Arizona Cardinals right now.
So, first of all, the line is, as you mentioned, Stats and I are streaming / recording this on Thursday morning, but it's 5.5 now. It opened, Cowboys opened as 3-point favorites. So interesting sort of climb, you know, so far throughout the week. And I mean, man, like I said this on Monday with Pete, but I love to throw around the F word. Like I am the king of frauds, right? Like I'm handing out frauds.
Oh, that F word.
Yeah. Like I'm Oprah Winfrey. Like you're a fraud. The truest and perhaps most legitimate frauds are the Arizona Cardinals. And I was actually thinking about this, like, you might not be the best person to ask because of your NFC Westness, but like, do you even know a Cardinals fan? Like in your personal life, honestly, I'm really asking, like, do you know a person who is, like, if you went through every contact in your phone, is there, or like every person you interact with on social media, like we all now have just like internet friends. Like, do you know a Cardinals fan? Somebody who you would send a Christmas card to?
No. 100% no.
I don't think they exist. Like I think Blake Shelton and Gwen Stefani are like the only Cardinals fans in the world, honestly. I mean, they are so insignificant, and that is like who they are. Like, and so like you had the like tiny little like pops and stuff on social media early in the season, like how come nobody's giving us love? It's because we know you'll fall apart. Like that's who you are. And they are such a, like, I don't know. Like, I never really realized how annoyed I was with the Cardinals until a few years ago when they, and I love Carson Palmer, when they inducted Carson in their Ring of Honor. Like, all the Cardinals are is a, we'll take your franchise legend and like make him ours type of dude. Yep. Kurt Warner, Carson Palmer. I mean, JJ Watt. Like, that's all. They're the only like true Arizona Cardinal in my mind ever is Larry Fitzgerald. That's the only one. Like, he's the face of all of it. And so I just don't believe in them at all. I don't know if you remember this subplot, Stats, but so Kyler Murray is obviously a factor in this game. He has never lost at AT&T Stadium. Obviously during his time in high school and college at the University of Oklahoma, he went to a better school before he transferred there, but whatever.
Who cares?
And so last summer, I think it was before a fight. I can't remember exactly what it was before, but I don't know if you remember, Kyler was asked if he grew up a Dallas Cowboys fan. And this is a family show, so you know, be careful. I'll make the producing not difficult. But he said, no, they were always but when I was growing up. He's not wrong. Well, let's contextualize, but I mean, they were not the Cardinals. Like the Cardinals were way worse. I mean, so that's the first thing. Second of all, the internet very quickly went to work and found a photo of Kyler at Texas Stadium in a Cowboys jersey. So he is also a fraud in that sense. But
well, it doesn't mean he was a Cowboys fan.
Whatever.
He wore a Cowboys jersey in their stadium. Like, look, come on now.
I feel bad. Kyler's a friend of the SB Nation NFL show. All right. I interviewed him myself during the Super Bowl week last year. And so I really like Kyler, but man, this team is full of losers, dude. Like from a like competitive standpoint. I mean, dude, like Dak Prescott is far and away the best quarterback from his draft class. We have learned that over the course of the last 5 years. And the Cardinals just lost to the two worst of the, like, you know, ones to come out of it and be like somewhat legitimate starters. They lost to Jared Goff and Carson Wentz back to back in the very first year with them in their new teams after their old teams gave up on them. And so I'm so far out on the Cardinals. I totally agree with BLG. I think they are going to limp into the playoffs on a 5-game losing streak. Frauds.
That would be unbelievable. And I do think that there has to be a little like, here we go again with these Cardinals players seeing this late season slide. I will say, if by some miracle the Cardinals are able to pull out this win, that kind of slams the brakes on all this, doesn't it? Like, is that enough to just go to sort of like say, look, see, we stopped it. We stopped the slide. We beat a really good Cowboys team. We're in control here.
Nah, you lost to the Lions, dude. Like, like there's no exorcism you can perform to get rid of that stink. I mean, and that's just who they are. Like, that's who the Cardinals are. They are this, like, they are forever. Did you ever see the movie Sky High? No movie I'm talking about?
No.
It was a movie
about... I know the movie. I didn't see it.
Yeah, it was a movie about, like, kids that, like, went to, like, superhero high school. And, you know, like, learned to be, like, superheroes, whatever. And so, like, on the first day of school, they were sorted into heroes and sidekicks. And they would go, like, down that down that path forever, like, in their career. The Cardinals are a sidekick in the NFL. There are hero franchises. The Cowboys, the Steelers, the Packers, the Niners, the... you know, Chiefs, the Raiders, you know, like there are hero franchises. Then there are sidekick franchises. The Cardinals. I don't even think the Jaguars are a sidekick franchise. The Bengals are a sidekick franchise.
The Chiefs are a sidekick franchise, man.
Nah, dude. They've got a little, you know, they're old school. I'll put them in the hero. They're, you know, maybe a later arrival, but like the Chargers, the Colts, like they are all sidekick franchises. They need somebody else to carry the juice when they're in prime time. This game, I guarantee, will be one of the highest rated games throughout the afternoon window.
Yep.
Or because it is in the afternoon window, you have the schedule in front of you. There's nothing but stinkers in the afternoon outside of this. This will be one of the highest rated games of the season. And I will say on the Cowboys side of this, because all I've done is expose the Cardinals here. The Cowboys went last week. They did something I've really never seen them do. At least they never did under Jason Garrett. They went for the kill shot. I loved that. They broke the spirit of their division rival at home on primetime. They destroyed them. And I mean, it's a satisfying feeling. You know that. And you've got this team limping in, vanquish them, break their souls. You know yep. what I mean? Like go for the, and I think that they're capable of that. I really do. I think Mike McCarthy, I know you won't give him his proper due, but I think he is a coach who gets them up for those types of situations, who says they are coming in here weak. Let's end them. Like, let's just put them out of their misery. Like, and I, you know, some people say like, oh, they're, you know, let's just like step on them and just end their misery. No, the Cowboys want to drop a nuclear bomb on them. Like, that's what I want to see from this team. But I mean, I'll take any kind of win, however I can get it.
No, I agree with you. When you're facing a team that's coming in with no momentum, either just having a bad year or like the Cardinals on a losing streak, step on them early. Show them early that their problems are not ending today and you are just going to make them miserable. Dallas needs to get like 3 or 4 touchdowns in the first half of this game, grind them into dust, and the Cardinals will fold. They will absolutely fold in the second half of this game. So I agree with you. I will take the Cowboys and I will give the points. Are you with me on that?
Hell yeah, I'm with you. Cowboys are wearing their Color Rush jerseys, which are sharp. I know you appreciate this, the 94 looking throwbacks with the stars on the sleeves.
So good.
Yeah, so they have not generally had great moments when wearing them. So hopefully this puts an end to that. But if they maintain anywhere near the level of offensive efficiency they had last week, I don't know how they're not, you know, among the heavy favorites entering the playoffs. They look, I mean, I think objectively, like one of the most complete teams in the NFL right now.
I'll be interested to see how Dak plays against a much better defense, because he clearly lit it up last week. First quarterback ever to throw a touchdown to a running back, wide receiver, tight end, and an offensive lineman in the same game. But I want to see him against a very good defense, because I think his play has kind of cooled off from earlier in the season. And so even though he had a good week last week, if he struggles again this week, I think that narrative is going to have some life to it.
Well, we'll see. But Cowboys winning, Cowboys getting to 12 on the season and keeping their hopes for the one seed alive, which depend on something else that we'll get to in a little bit.
Next up, the Vikings. Going to the frozen tundra of Lambeau.
Pro football's holiest cathedral.
The Packers are giving 6.5 points in this one. If Green Bay wins and the Cowboys lose, the Packers will be the number one seed in the NFC. Minnesota just needs this win and a bunch of help if they're going to make the playoffs. Look, you and I, as we are constantly reminded by BLG and others, we have said that, look, Kirk Cousins is not as bad as you think. We've been kind of trying to give him some props, but there's no excuse for losing that game last week, RJ. He got 3 extra possessions because of Matt Stafford interceptions, and he just couldn't get it done in crunch time. 2 of 12 on third down were the Vikings, 2 of 5 in the red zone. When you're playing really good teams, or any team, really, you got to cash those opportunities in. And Kirk Cousins absolutely did not last week. And that's why the Vikings lost.
Well, and I think that that like kind of serves our point is like, we're not saying he's amazing. Like he's flawed. You know what I mean? But like, you can be flawed and still be relatively good. You know what I'm saying? So like, that's our point. Like, and that's what, like, for all of you who come for Stats and I on Twitter every week at Stats on Fire at RJ Ochoa. Again, Kirk is not the best quarterback on the NFL, but when you say that, it doesn't mean that he has to be the worst quarterback to ever live. And that's what the take becomes. He is capable of doing some things. He is not capable of doing all things. For what it's worth, he is capable of beating the Green Bay Packers. They did it earlier this season. Mm-hmm. And the Packers are a bit of a flawed team. I mean, we've seen that obviously over the course of their last two games, not exactly like slamming the door shut against some weaker opponents. I mean, we talk about the Ravens and like how, you know, terrible they are, or what, like how terrible their roster is. But I mean, the Packers almost lost. I mean, you know, like I saw this tweet yesterday from NFL Osifi, a great Twitter account. Green Bay is their tweet. Green Bay is a ball control offense. Throw the third most screens in the NFL, 16th in intended air yards, fourth in time of possession behind Tennessee, Indianapolis, and ironically, Baltimore. Play calling gets conservative late, 19th in fourth quarter points. That's the thing, man. Like,
wow.
They kind of fade, and it like they're the proverbial like build up, like they build a wall and then like nobody can really climb it. You know what I'm saying? And so I mean, I don't know that Kirk Cousins can do that. I to be honest with you, I mean, again, I realize that he did, but there's so much that hangs in the balance with this game. I wrote about this. This article went out on Wednesday night at blockingthevoice.com. If the Vikings win, it prohibits the Philadelphia Eagles from clinching a playoff spot this week. That is a necessary component to Philly getting their playoff ticket this week. If the Vikings win, it gives life to Dallas being the number one seed in the NFC. Dallas happens to visit Philadelphia next week. There are two hypotheticals that could unfold. One, the Vikings could win this week and lose to the Bears next week, and that could happen before Philly plays Dallas, and Philly could know going into that game against the Cowboys that their playoff ticket is secured and therefore have nothing to play for while the Cowboys would be going for the top seed. That would be very interesting. Or Philly could be playing for their playoff lives and Dallas could be playing for the number one seed. Those are two very different, you know, things of significance to kind of battle against one another. So a Vikings loss sends us into that type of turmoil, which I certainly want to see. Aaron Rodgers might be the best player in the NFL, but the Packers are maybe an average team. And so he has carried them over and over and over and over again. And logic would suggest that that has to reach a breakpoint. And maybe this is it. But dude, if Kirk wins this game at Lambeau in primetime, holy crap, Stats and I are coming for all of you.
I think that part of the reason what is happening with the Packers, like you mentioned, they kind of trail off. I think Aaron Rodgers is demoralizing. I think early in the games, he comes out. Some of these throws that he makes, RJ, like, they're just insane. They are throws that you shouldn't even attempt, and he puts it on the money in the only possible spot it could be to be completed. And I think if he does that a few times, I think it's natural for your defenders to be like, well, shoot, like, what? We can't stop this guy. He's just that damn good. I do think that Kirk is one of the few quarterbacks that doesn't get demoralized by that kind of stuff. He kind of just goes out there and does his work. It's going to hurt him that Adam Thielen's not going to be there. He's going to miss the rest of the season with an ankle injury. That's obviously a factor too. The Vikings can win this game. Will they win this game? I don't know, but I think I'm going to take the Vikings and the points.
I'm going to take them to win. So if you're willing to make this a pick'em,
I'm not willing to make it a pick'em.
BLG kind of cornered me on the mixtape. So I had to, you know, I had to put my money where my mouth was, so to speak. So I will take them to win. I know you said no, but if you're willing to do that, I am willing to go out on that limb. I at least believe in Kirk that much. So much for you, Mr. Fraud.
No, I'm getting 6.5 points. I'm going to take them. Why would I not take more than a touchdown worth of points? Why would I just give that up?
Whatever. You don't believe.
All right. So those are our deep dives. Before we get into our lightning round, RJ, I think we want to take a second here to talk about some news that broke just as we hit record. And that has to do with Ben Roethlisberger of the Pittsburgh Steelers, who said today that this game this week against the Cleveland Browns on Monday Night Football is likely going to be his final game at Heinz Field, which is the first public indication that he will retire after this season.
So when I saw this this news hit the timeline, I felt like Phoebe Buffay when Chandler and Monica told her that they were dating, and she's like, that is brand new information. And she's like, you know, acting, oh no, I think it's when Ross, I can't believe I just butchered Friends trivia. I feel like such a fraud myself. But my point is, she's like being silly because she already knew that. And it's like, okay, Ben, thank you for revealing this to us. We were all unaware that, you know, you haven't talked about this at other times, how this could be the last one. This could be, I'm honestly surprised that Ben didn't, you know, say like, this is the last dance. Like, I loved that documentary, but I hate the, like, you know, memedom that it has created. Like, we overused the Jordan, I took it personally meme, and now everyone wants to be the last dance and whatever, and stupid. And so like, Ben, okay, like, you want a couple bowls, get out of Dodge. Like, you are hurting this team. Like, you are really, really hurting this team. And man, Stats, what a sad affair that his last game at Heinz Field, the ketchup bottle, is a game where the Pittsburgh Steelers are underdogs to the Cleveland Browns.
It's just the fall off for Ben has been so bad that I think it almost makes you forget what he was like when he was younger. Like, he was just a bear back there. He would just drop back to pass and just hold the ball forever because nobody could tackle him. He was just a giant dude. And then he would eventually run around and make a play. And to watch him now, where everything is 3 yards and 5 yards, it's just so much different from how good he used to be. I mean, we're talking about a guy that's gone to 3 Super Bowls in his career, won 2 of them. Granted, in the first one, he was hideous, but nonetheless, they still won the game. Like, how many quarterbacks in NFL history have gotten to 3 Super Bowls? It's a very, very small list. Ben can say he's one of those guys, and it's just the way it has ended is really, really sad. And but it's clearly time, as you said.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's whatever. I'm kind of ready for the 2004 class to be out of our lives. Like, we've had so many things, like, so many like specials and documentaries, and like, man, we're gonna get 2004 to like crazy because the Manning cast returns this week, and so Eli is gonna be on the call, so to speak, for this game. Philip Rivers is back on the news, of all things. I mean, like, just enough. Let's move on. There are other classes. It was, you know, 17 years ago at this point. Like, let's move on. Ben, I'm way more interested in who the Steelers are without you at this point. So, you know, go throw for your 116 yards in this game and one touchdown and 2 interceptions and let the Browns. Like, I was telling you this right before we started streaming, but like, Ben had like more wins in Cleveland than the Browns did, right, for like a stretch there. Like, it would be fitting if his last home game, ironically, was a loss to that team.
I mean, I think you're kind of poo-pooing Ben's career a little bit. He's 5th all-time in passing yardage. He's 8th all-time in passing touchdowns. Like I said, he's gotten to 3 Super Bowls. Like, damn, man. The end Hall was of just, Fame career.
The end was just so dramatic and exhausting. And, like, some of that's not even Ben's fault. But you know what I mean? Like, the end was – it's just been like, okay, you know, it feels to me like – Ben's career has been Grey's Anatomy. It's like, there's a bomb in a patient again. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, like, we've, you know, like, you've been on the air forever. Like, just, it's time. You know what I mean? Like, this happens. People retire, you know, you move on. I don't think Ben will be in a television booth, but, you know, who knows?
God, I hope not.
But I would bet he starts a podcast or, you know, something, a YouTube channel. But yeah, I mean, you had a good run. There was a lot of fun there for Steelers fans. And I do think it's cool that Steelers fans will have an opportunity to say goodbye. You don't always get that. It's kind of sad that it's with a really weak Steelers team and what might – I don't even know. Like, they should lose this game to whoever they're playing, but the Browns stink so much they might win. I mean, so I don't know. It would be really awkward if they somehow wound up winning the AFC North, though, and he got one more home game.
Oh, that's true. That would be kind of, yeah. Isn't he saying that this is likely going to be his last home game, like kind of admitting that they're not going to win?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that's who the Steelers are now. The Steelers are this, you know, the Steelers, BLG and I really trashed the Giants this week on the NFC's mixtape, which everyone can listen to on the blog of the boys, Bleeding Green Nation, Hogs Haven, or Big Blue View Podcast Networks. Maybe the Big Blue View audience not so happy because the Giants suck, dude. The Giants are terrible. Like, and you've trashed the Giants 1,000 times too. Like, they think they're this NFL blue blood. That's what the Steelers are about to become. Like, they're about to, like, remain convinced, like, we can do this, whatever.
No, and I have, we don't know. It depends who they get to play quarterback after Ben.
The difference is Mike Tomlin, clearly. And, like, you know, you have a competent coach, you know, or a competent person involved with the decision-making there. But that there is one path for them where they become that. So I'll be interested to see if that's ultimately what happens.
All right, RJ, we're finished with our Big Ben talk. You know what time it is now. It's time for the Week 17 Lightning Round. There are a few things I look forward to more than your fake lightning sound. First up, the Falcons are going to Buffalo. This is one of many big spreads this week. The Bills are giving 14 points.
I'm back. I'll take the Bills. I'll give the 14 points. I don't care. I don't believe in the Falcons.
Yeah, I have my hesitancy would be problems with the Bills, not an ability by the Falcons to keep up in any way. I'll take the Bills. I will give the points. Speaking of those NFL blue bloods, RJ, the Giants are in Chicago to take on the Bears. Chicago favored by 6. I will take the Bears and give the points. The Giants stink.
I will take the Bears. I will give the points. The Giants, they're not even frauds. Like, they're just like, they don't exist to me. Like, that's who the Giants are at this point. Like, I agree with BLG. Like, it is not, it's not even fun to, like, take shots at them or, like, poke at them. Like, it's not like even satisfying. It makes me feel bad. I mean, they're just so insignificant. They're truly insignificant franchise right now. The loser bowl, like the Bears are not much better, to be very clear here. So like, very, very, very insignificant game here.
Significant game now, the Las Vegas, they don't like when you say Vegas. The Las Vegas Raiders going to Indianapolis to play the Colts. Colts favored by 6.5. If Indy wins, they clinch a playoff spot.
I will reluctantly take Indy. I still can't like buy into them all the way. I don't know what it is. And obviously they've got some issues going on this week. We'll see what happens with Carson Wentz and whatnot. But I will take Indy because the Raiders also stink.
Yeah, I have no faith in the Raiders whatsoever. There's just nothing good going on. I'll take the Colts and give the points. I don't feel great about it. I think Jonathan Taylor is going to have to do most of the work in this one. But what else is new? He's been doing it for basically the entire season. The Jags are going up to New England to get their butts handed to them. Patriots favored by 15 points, RJ.
Now, this is the Bill Belichick is pissed off game, and you're just the unfortunate soul who got in his way. Patriots by 30, but I mean, I'll just give the 15.
If the Patriots win and either Miami or Las Vegas loses, they clinch a playoff spot. I will give the 15 points, although I would like to see Mac Jones actually look good because he's been shaky in the month of December. Time to get that straightened out, Mac, but he's not going to do enough to lose this game. Bill Belichick will just stop throwing the ball and they'll still be able to win against the Jags. Speaking of bad games, the world champion Buccaneers are going to New Jersey to take on the Jets. The Jets are getting 12.5 points. It is not enough. There are not enough points that you could give the Jets in this one, RJ, to let me pick them.
I mean, what a like unfortunate thing for the Jets. Like, they have been tormented by Tom Brady. Like, you know, their season is still terrible. They still have questions about their brand new franchise quarterback. I mean, like, just perpetual sadness. If you're a Jets fan, I would love to see the Bucs lose for the Cowboys' sake, but I will take Tampa. I will give the points. I will feel very, very, very good about that.
How could you not? All right, let's go to Washington now. The Eagles come to town. Washington is getting 3.5 points. Philly needs to win this game. Washington is coming off a whooping by the Cowboys. What do you like?
I think Washington is full of frauds too. Ron Rivera, how can Mike McCarthy guarantee a victory? Blah, blah, blah. Like, dude, Washington is like, dude, they fought. They fought on national television, like on the benches that they made a big deal. Like, they went like memeception to like the fourth level of meme. And it's like, that's who they are. Like, some teams are insignificant. Some teams are like, this team are just embarrassments. Like, there's nothing good that comes from this team ever. And, you know, Ron Rivera tried to like breathe life into them and he just can't. And like, Ron Rivera, phenomenal human being, kind of a terrible football coach, and everybody fell all over themselves, falling in love with him last year, and here we go again. What did I hear? Curtis Samuel. Is that Curtis Samuel? Like, everything they've done has been awful, like from a football standpoint. Like, everything they've touched has been like just terrible. Granted, Ryan Fitzpatrick got hurt, but like, you cannot tell me Ryan Fitzpatrick makes a difference in a 56-14 game. So I will take the Eagles. I will give the points. I am up against Jalen Hurts in my fantasy title game. So
nobody cares.
You know, just get the dub and be cool, Philly. That's all I ask. Vic Sirianni, my bro, you got my back. I trust you.
as I said on the Sunday night late night wrap-up show, the fight on the bench during a 56-point blowout is not even close to the most embarrassing thing to happen to that franchise this year. That just tells you how bad they have been. I will take the Eagles. I will give the points, and I am not worried about that game at all. One team that should be worried, RJ, the Los Angeles Chargers, coming off a loss to the lowly Houston Texans. They are hosting the Denver Broncos. Chargers are favored by 6.5 points in this one. If Teddy Bridgewater was starting for the Broncos, I might take them in the points. But Drew Lock, just when the coolest thing about you is your touchdown celebration that you very rarely get to do because you can almost never lead the team to a touchdown, that ain't it. I'll take the Chargers and give the points.
So I want to be clear here about a couple of things. I know it's a lightning round, but excuse me for the elongated response. Number one, we don't have a lot of games that we are disagreeing on yet. So for the sake of content, you know, here we go. But beyond that, for the sake of principle, I refuse to take the Chargers. I don't even know when. Like, I really don't know when I will ever take them again. I just can't. I cannot off principle alone. You cannot go get housed by the Houston Texans and expect me to pick you. And I want to contextualize that while I have cemented the Cardinals as the king of frauds, there is nobody who I have more consistently called frauds this season than the Denver Broncos. The Denver Broncos are more authentic to me than the Chargers. That's how fraudulent the Chargers. I love Justin Herbert. I'm out. I am so out on the Chargers. And I just can't. I cannot come back. I can't come back from this for you for a while. I need some time. I got to work on myself, Chargers. I will take the Broncos. I will take the points. Despite the fact that it's Drew Lock, despite the fact that it's the Broncos in general, that's where my principles are.
It is. It's such an inexcusable loss by the Chargers. Like, they were supposed to be past this. They were supposed to be past this inconsistent team, right? They got their quarterback. They got their guy. And the weird thing is about the Chargers, go back and look at their history. How many teams can say they have had three legitimate, bona fide franchise quarterbacks in their history and have zero Super Bowls? Dan Fouts, Philip Rivers, Justin Herbert. Now, I know Justin Herbert's really young, but you see my point. Like, when they get the guy, they still don't win.
Maybe the Bengals. That's Ken Anderson, Carson
Dan
Palmer.
Dan Fouts is a Hall of Famer. Philip Rivers is a Hall of Famer.
Okay, like, can I come up with like a completely equal comparison? No, but like, the Bengals are in that mix. Ken Anderson, Carson Palmer, and Joe Burrow is equivalent to Justin Herbert.
No, that's not even close to the same level.
Well, the point here is Chargers. Just no. Like, I can certainly be talked into like re-loving Justin Herbert all the way. I'm out on Brandon Staley. I'm out. Like,
wow.
I maintain that when the Cowboys went to Los Angeles and beat the Chargers, remember, everybody criticized Mike McCarthy for not calling a timeout at the end. Like, what are you doing? What are you doing? Blah, blah, blah. Brandon Staley ended that game, that loss, with all three timeouts in his pocket. He never had any interest in calling a single timeout to preserve time for his franchise quarterback, whose stats is putting in the same company as Dan Fouts and Philip Rivers, rightfully so, I might add. And so, like, while I love a lot of the principles that you know, Brandon Staley, you know, kind of brings with him, his loyalty and allegiance to the world of analytics, there's a funk here. And man, you got to get through this stink somehow, some way. But until you do, until you like overwhelmingly prove that you do, like, dude, you know who the Chargers are? Like, we've trashed Washington this year. Like, oh, all Washington's got to be proud of this year is they beat Tampa Bay. Man, like, all Los Angeles' season this is so far is, like, you went to Arrowhead and won. That's it. Like, that's the only, like, significant thing you've done this year. I mean, and the Texans' loss undoes that for me. I mean, so, nah, I will take the Broncos. And I don't even care if I'm wrong. I would rather be wrong with the Broncos than be right with the Chargers right now.
The rats are on the edge of the Chargers ship right now, and a loss to the Broncos, and everybody is jumping overboard. LA has to get right this week. They absolutely have to do it. And as was talked about on the SB Nation NFL show, like, we need the Chargers in the playoffs. We can't have some of these other teams in the AFC. Like, are you telling me you'd rather see, like, the Raiders in the playoffs or the Ravens with nobody left on their team? Like, the Chargers got to get in. It's more fun.
I don't think it's more fun because I know the Raiders are frauds. You know what I'm saying? Like, cool. Like, you walk in with your, like, fraud card on your chest. Like, the Chargers are, like, hiding their fraud card. They're wearing, like, a jacket over it. You know what I mean? Like, they're like,
know,
oh,
it's there.
Yeah, like, they're the, like, you know, like, oh, that's not Rob Guerrero. That's Rob Herrera, you know, like, with a mustache and glasses on. Like, that's who they are. I'm sorry. I can't. And, like, spare me with like the cool stuff to like the like the NFL and like Twitter wants the Chargers to be relevant so badly, and I was among that group. But when you lose, when you get just dominated by the Texans with, what was it, 16 players on the COVID list? Nah, I am out. Like, you have to go an enormously long way to re-earn my love again, Chargers.
All right. Houston is in San Francisco. The 49ers are giving 12 points, RJ, in a game that might be started by Trey Lance, and they're still double-digit favorites.
I don't care. I'm taking San Francisco. I know you're down on them. I know Kyle Shanahan. Kyle Shanahan maybe deserves to be the Chargers head coach with the fact that he is like willfully choosing Jimmy Garoppolo at times. But I mean, he is not Brandon Staley. He is a qualified NFL head coach. He doesn't walk on water like my friend Rob told me once upon a time. But
never said those words.
San Francisco, I will give 12 points and I won't lose a wink of sleep about it.
I think I'm going to take the Texans and the points in this one.
Loser.
I think that if Trey Lance does start, which I, for the record, he's going to start. Kyle Shanahan can try and do all those cute, stupid things in the press conference about, well, you know, maybe Jimmy could play. Now the Texans have to prepare for two. There's no preparing for Jimmy Garoppolo, okay? Put everybody in the middle of the field, 10 yards away from the line of scrimmage. Done. You're prepared for Jimmy Garoppolo. So it's not like they have to stay up late coming up with a game plan to stop that devastating passer. No. It's going to be Trey Lance. I think that the 49ers are going to be very conservative. I think that as long as Trey Lance hits the Jimmy gimmies that Kyle usually tees up for Garoppolo, he'll be totally fine. The Niners, I think, will win. They better win. They can clinch a playoff spot with a win and a loss by New Orleans. So it's the final home game of the year for the Niners. They'll win. I don't think they'll do it by more than 12 points. So I'll take the Texans and the points in that one. Next up, let's go to New Orleans for that game against the Panthers. Looks like the Ian Book Show, thank God, is going to be closed. Taysom Hill came off the COVID list. The Panthers are going with Sam Darnold in this game, which is not doing 49ers fans any favors. But then again, no quarterbacks on the Panthers roster are doing the 49ers any favors. Saints are favored by 6.5.
The Panthers, I want to be very clear, are awful. Like, they're terrible. They're unwatchable at times. Matt Rule has somehow made them worse. All right. Like, I take back what I said about Kyle Shanahan. Matt Rule. Actually, no, I maintain what I said. Matt Rule doesn't even deserve to be the head coach of the Chargers. Like, he's not even like, you got to have a level of cool to have that job. And Matt Rule wants to be cool so badly, dude.
Yeah,
like, he wants to be cool so bad. Like, I'm sure he's used to like 20-year-olds being like, coach, you're so cool, man. Like, welcome to the real world, Matt Rule. Like, welcome to corporate America. That, I mean, like, everyone's taking their turns at the Jay-Z thing. Like, that was so stupid. Like, the only thing I thought about was the scene from Billy Madison where he's like, that is the dumbest thing like we've ever heard. You know, we're all dumber.
In your rambling, incoherent.
Exactly. Like, dude, man, like, he, again, like, beyond the fact that he consciously traded for Sam Darnold and consciously picked up his, like Matt Rule has gone so far out of his way to make the quarterback mess messier with this franchise. I mean, it is just really, really sad is what is happening to the Panthers right now. Like, they are awful, and like, they don't, like, I just like roasted the Chargers, but like, I still believe, because they have Justin Herbert, like, their future might be bright, right? Like, the Ravens future is bright. What is there to be excited about if you're like the, I think, like, Panthers, like, maybe we trade for Deshaun Watson, which is a horrible idea, you know what I mean? Like, that's like the thing that like they might do that brings them relevance. Like, man, I am all the way out. I might be further out on the Panthers than I am anybody else in the NFL right now. I just, and it is hilarious to me that, so these were the head coaches hired in 2020 stats: Mike McCarthy, Ron Rivera, Joe Judge, Kevin Stefanski, and Matt Rule. Is there any doubt that Matt Rule is the worst in a group that features Joe Judge?
Man, Joe Judge is pretty pathetic,
but he's like a respectable pathetic. You know what I mean?
Like, he loses, but I still have respect for him.
Right.
Matt Rule, I have no respect for. When you go with that Jay-Z line is just so try hard, right? Like, it's just so his attempt to make people think that he's cool and hip. And like, all these coaches come up with these stupid analogies, like Nick Sirianni with the flower. Oh yeah, we're like a flower. That's just so dumb. You don't have to talk like that. Real human beings do not speak like that. And it's just It's cringy. The Eagles have won, so it makes Sirianni look a little better. But
that's the best word, by the
that.
Way. It's cringy. Like I really hate Bruce Arians' like proclivity for like cursing and like, you know, just whatever. But like he's like, I believe that's who Bruce Arians is at the very least. Like, you know, and he's not like trying. Like, I actually really don't like when Jerry Jones is like, oh, the cricket and like the moth and the but like, you know, Jerry, like now Jerry really tries to come up with these like Jerryisms. You know what I mean? When he makes analogies for certain things and like he's Jerry Jones. So it works. But like Matt Rhule, you are just Matt Rhule. Like it does not work for you. And I don't know how the Panthers can run this back and feel confident. I really don't. But, you know, hey. Dude,
there was a
thing.
Fire Matt Rhule chant last week after the game. That's
it should
all you
be.
Need to know.
This should like what have they done that's impressive? Right. Nothing.
Speaking of unimpressive teams, let's finish up with the Lions traveling to Seattle to take on the Seahawks. Seahawks favored by 7. Honestly, RJ, I'm not sure who wins this game. And that is a sad tale because I think the Seahawks are packing it in and the Lions usually play hard.
I'm not going to go as far as picking the Lions, but I agree with you. I do find it funny, by the way, that there are 5 teams in the NFC that have been eliminated from playoff contention and that 2 games are comprised of 4 of them. You have the Giants and the Bears, and then you have this game. So, yeah, these are the like, hey, Scott Hansen, we don't need these. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
we don't ever need to see an update on this game.
Just stay elsewhere. But, I mean, I won't take Seattle. 7 is too many. I'm just... Dude, they lost to Nick Foles. They lost to Nick Foles and Matt Nagy. Like, what?
They are packing it in, man. They're folding up shop.
And Russ, I mean, like, this has actually been the worst possible year possible for the Seahawks because, like, they're in a state of dysfunction. They don't even have Pete Carroll to hang their hat on anymore. And Russ's trade value, fine. He might still fetch multiple first rounders, whatever, because he's Russell Wilson. But like, there is no doubt that shine has been impacted. I mean, it has been dulled by the way he has played this year. And it dates back to last year too. Like, I don't know how, like it is. I actually hope the Giants trade for him at this point. Like I don't think Russell's a circus, but like bring the corporate circus to town, bring the kind of like barely above average quarterback to town. Like that'll fix everything. Giants, go ahead and do it.
I don't know that Russ is, I mean, I think Russ is a little better than barely above average, but here's what you have in Russell Wilson. If you just step back objectively and look at it, you have a quarterback that's getting up there in age, who's taken a ton of hits, who's been surrounded by good receivers recently in Seattle, and yet for some reason cannot get on the same page with DK Metcalf. Like they can't even hit each other on like a 3rd-and-5 out route. It is something is going on with Russell Wilson. A lot of teammates do not like him, and that's what you're getting. You're getting all of that with Russell Wilson. If you trade for him, you're going to have to give up a ton. He's expensive. His contract is very high. Like, I'm not saying teams shouldn't trade for Russell Wilson. All I'm saying is it's not a slam dunk guaranteed to work out and rescue your franchise from, you know, the dreck of the NFL.
I cannot wait for whenever he is traded for the like Seahawks of old to come do their like media appearances on their podcasts and things like that. Like Richard Sherman's going to have some thoughts.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Michael Bennett's going to have some thoughts. Golden mm-hmm. Tate's going to have some thoughts. Like, I mean, like it's going to be Seattle radio is going to be good times whenever Russell Wilson is traded.
Yep. That is 100% accurate. There is stuff that is going to come out. Doug Baldwin might have some takes.
Oh, man, Doug Baldwin. Yeah, it's a great point. Like, the only one who won't, like, Marshawn will be like, man, I love Russ. You know, like, that'll be it. And then everyone else will be like, man, like, there will be all sorts of stories like, man, you know, the week in Arizona leading up to the Super Bowl, like, he was saying, like, if the game comes down to one final moment, like, I want it. I want the ball in my hands. Go Hawks. You know, like, that there will be all sorts of stuff that comes out.
And I do think a lot of what has happened there, like, traces back to that Super Bowl, how it ended, how Russ responded to it. Russell Wilson said God wanted him to throw the interception at the end of the Super Bowl and lose it. Think about that. Think about that. God didn't care about anybody else's Super Bowl in that game, right? Nobody else, no matter how faithful or religious they may be. Screw you guys. God cared more about Russell Wilson than you. And he told Russell Wilson that he wanted him to throw that interception. And I will always say from now until the end of time, why has no one ever asked Russell Wilson what God sounds like? Because apparently the Lord spoke to him. I would like to know if the All Heavenly Father has a nice baritone.
I love Russell Wilson, but I will say I have always found it amazing that he does not get more heat for that. Like, that play is remembered more for Malcolm Butler and for Marshawn Lynch, and as far as like being inactive in it. And I mean, like, I hate to be the Cowboys guy, but like, think about if Tony Romo did that. Like Tony Romo gets Tony Romo gets more heat for a bobbled snap, ironically, against the Seahawks in a wild card game than Russell Wilson
scores.
Right. Like than Russell Wilson for a game losing interception in the Super Bowl. You know what I mean? Like that is amazing to me. And some of that, like, again, I don't want to be the Cowboys guy, but like some of that is just amazing. Is kind of the way it works.
So I'll take the Lions in this one and the points.
Man, dude, I already went on a limb with the Broncos. Like, I'm not doing this. Like, I'll take the Lions as well. That's where the Seahawks have fallen. I will say this to kind of tie a bow on my Tony Romo thing. One of my favorite stats about Tony Romo that I uncovered, he never throughout his career played a game where he was mathematically eliminated from playoff contention. Ever. Now they lost multiple week 17 games, so fine. But that's a cool little thing. Like, it shows like they were never out of it. And like, you, like, there's a different thing to being out of it. And like, I never thought that would be the Seahawks, like under Russell. Like, I never thought that they would play meaningless games, and they're going to play multiple meaningless games this year. Like, it's just amazing. I never really thought that would happen.
Things do not end without ending badly. Like, that's a part of the reason why they end, because things are not going well, and it has tailed off precipitously in Seattle. But I agree, that's where we are. All right, RJ, so where do we differ on the games this week?
We have three games, and again, I enter week 17, which is not the regular season finale, with a one-game lead over Stats. And at the end of this, well, either we're going to be tied, or you're going to have a sizable lead, or I'm going to have a sizable lead, which is basically how it could work. But we have three games, so somebody's going to win this week at least. Kansas City, Cincinnati. Kansas City favored by 5. I believe in that. Denver, Los Angeles, the Chargers, not the good team there. The Chargers favored by 6.5. You foolishly believed in them. I happily took the Broncos. And San Francisco, Houston, you think the Niners will win, but not that they will cover the 12 points. I took the Niners. You took the Texans. By the way, I took the Niners against the Falcons back in week 15 when they were 9-point favorites, and I won that one. I also took the Niners when they were 3.5-point favorites over the Seahawks back in week 13, and you won that one. So there have been multiple times this season where I have taken the favorite 49ers, and I am 1-1 against you in doing that. So, you know, you don't have the best read on this situation. It's really my point.
I would argue I have just as good a read on the situation as you do, seeing as
the math would support that. Yeah, the math would support that. But I don't have a 49ers cap and paraphernalia behind me in my office. So, you know,
yeah, you should.
Who should be more embarrassed here?
I got the new stadium behind me too. The new picture I got for Christmas of Levi's Stadium right before the first game. I'm building up quite a little background there. So there you go.
You should have you should get it's more of a chore, but get like a Lego set and have your son.
I have one. It's upstairs. Well, I have to finish building it.
Well, have your son build it, and then not only do you have the stadium, but you have like the memory that your son built it. You know what I'm saying? There you go.
There you go. In case I ever forget my son.
My favorite nickname for that stadium. Shout out Rich Eisen, the Field of Jeans. So
yeah, way to go, Rich. You're so witty. All right, that's going to do it for this edition of the SB Nation NFL show. Again, we remind you, please rate, review, and follow. Spotify has ratings and reviews, people. So if you're listening on Spotify, now's your chance. Now's your chance to shine. Show us how much you support us. It makes
last
a big
show of
difference
2021 stats 10, 9.
Oh,
8,
God, this is
7,
how we're ending it.
6.
I hope 2022
5,
is a
4,
lot better than
3,
this. Enjoy the games.
2, 1. Happy New Year.